Good evening. You can be opening your Bibles to Romans 16. I think for reasons all of you can probably guess, since becoming a Christian, fellow Christians have been one of the most important things I've ever experienced. I remember the first time ever singing the song, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." There's the part in the song where we sing, "When we asunder part, it brings us inward pain," or "it gives us inward pain." I used to think that that meant when we had to say goodbye, like on Sunday night, and we wouldn't see each other for a few days. Because I'd go home, and it was just, and then I needed to see other Christians. And so whenever we sang that song, I thought it was just, it's going to be three grueling days until we get to see each other again. And the longer I've been a Christian, I know a little bit more what that means. It also doesn't mean when somebody moves away. But it feels like it's kind of in the same camp in some ways of what the song is getting at. One of the hardest things that I've had to do since becoming a Christian is to move. And might bring up the question on, well, why are we moving then? And there was, over the last year and a half or so, there was over 10 places that we could have moved, and we weren't looking to leave. But when this specific opportunity came up, it was a need that I felt like was so important for the kingdom's sake that I felt like I was compelled to take this opportunity. I want you to consider that the letters in the New Testament, they would have been read out loud. So whenever the letters were circulating in the first century, there was philosophers and other people that would write different kinds of literature, and there would be communal readings that they would have for different philosophers and whatnot. And the Bible, the letters of the New Testament would have followed that kind of cultural model where there's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to read. And so what they would do is they would read these letters out loud, and that would be like the sermon for that time together or something like that. I want you to look at Romans 16. Look at verses 1 and 2. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well." I want you to imagine for a moment that whoever would get up front or however they would organize themselves in the first century, that somebody would have got up and read this letter out loud to that church, and Phoebe would have been in the audience and Phoebe would have been named. Go down to look at verses 3 and 4. "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." You can imagine that as Aquila or Aquila, I think some people have said you have to pronounce it, that these people would have been named out loud in the gathering of these Christians. Or look down at verse 13, and there's a bunch of names given here, but look at verse 13. "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." Look at even how specific Paul is getting here, where he's naming specific families and saying that there's people in these families that have been like a mother to me. How much did fellow Christian family mean to Paul? Probably for reasons different than what I'm about to do. What I want to do is I just want to name some people that have especially meant a lot to us. And I know that one of the dangers in doing something like that is I'm going to forget some people. But the Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to outdo one another in honor. So this is just me trying to share my heart in appreciation for so many of you in this congregation is what I want to do, at least in the first part of this lesson. I'm so thankful to God for the eldership here. When I first came here, my heart wasn't in the best of places. And the proactive kindness and thoughtfulness that the elders had towards me and my family is something that I needed to experience. Their love and their kindness was something that needed to melt my heart that was getting harder in certain ways. And I'm thankful to God that they were willing to risk bringing in a blue-collar northerner who had been living in California. So it meant a lot to me that they wanted me to be here. So I'm thankful for the ways in which they've helped me in the ways that I've been helped by them. Samantha wanted me to bring up some specific people that especially meant a lot to her. Dalila Stringer is out of town right now. They're in Mexico. But whenever Samantha had her prenatal appointments, and I would go with, Dalila would watch all 20 of our kids that were already born so that we could go and understand Elliot's health. You guys realize that Elliot had some potential health problems in the beginning. I don't know if I ever shared that publicly or anything, but there were some potential problems, so we didn't know what was going on. So Dalila was very helpful, especially in that time, but just her sharing her life and her kids with our kids and having a good friend for Samantha, Julie Bauer, all the good conversations that Julie had with Samantha, the good intellectual stimulation that Samantha got from that after being around a bunch of kids all day that were asking about PJ Masks and other things like that, that Samantha could have good conversations with Julie, Erica Dutra. I know that Samantha always looked forward to Erica coming over, and she's always been such a good friend to Samantha. And I'll throw a Corey in there, too, for myself. I appreciate you a lot, being able to get together with you guys. And seeing how you guys have grown closer to God and closer to each other has just been a good example for Samantha and I. The way that you guys have learned to adapt to each other is just a beautiful thing, and I'm thankful to God for you guys' example and encouragement. Courtney Boone, Samantha has really appreciated her relationship with you and the good conversations, the good friendship, and I'll throw Josh in there too for myself. I like to call him Jay Booney. I love your heart. You've got a good work ethic. You're a good man. I'm so thankful to God for you and Courtney and the relationship that you guys have. Rose Cottle, whenever we first moved here, one of the things that Rose let Asher do was drive around in the parking lot back here in her car, and Asher got to steer the... And, like, from that day on, it was just, I want to be around Rose, like, all the time. But just your kindness and your thoughtfulness towards the needs that we had, especially when we first moved here, thank you so much for that. I know that she can't be here tonight. Jessica Glaze, the work that you're doing with those kids and the example that you are to so many people in that way, but Samantha appreciates you very much. That cauliflower thing that you make is really good. Thanks for bringing that over a lot. But you've got some amazing kids, and Samantha loves you. Lily Hamlet, the good conversations, the whole Hamlet family is so helpful in helping us pack things up, getting ready to leave. But all the good conversations, I think Dave, other than Todd Ulrich, I think Dave Hamlet was the first person here to know that we were going to be moving. And I appreciate all the good advice and all the good conversations that we had. And Owen has always been so good with the kids. Our kids love playing with him. Jamie Smith, your kids are such thoughtful people. So thankful to God for Everett's decision today. But all of your kids are just easy to have good, deep conversations with. Your friendship for Samantha has meant a lot. Coming to those Tuesday studies and your contributions to those studies have been so valuable. Getting breakfast with Brian has been such a blessing. We're still good for tomorrow, right? 8 o'clock? All right. Are we going to the pancake place again? Are we going to switch? Pancake? It wasn't good last time. But we'll text. Wendy Morgan. Samantha had said about Wendy that all of the conversations she had with Wendy, Samantha always left uplifted. And the way that Wendy can encourage people in specific kinds of ways always made Samantha feel built up in the Lord, and that's always been such a special thing. Hannah Merkel, a good friend that shared her kids with our kids. Their kids have become very good friends. Dustin has been a good friend to me as well. Just so many good people that Samantha especially wanted me to bring up. And then there's different girls here that have helped with our kids when I've been preaching here or preaching at Rockdale or away at gospel meetings. One of the things that I know has been stressful at times for Samantha is having to deal with all the kids whenever I'm up preaching and stuff like that. But Ella Randolph, you've been awesome. Just such a loving girl towards our kids. Thank you so much for sitting with our kids and showing the kindness that you showed. October, just one of the kindest girls I've ever known. Just the thoughtfulness that she has for other people around her. Her love towards Hannah. Hannah's going to miss her a lot. Elise Parker and the whole Parker family. Thank you for having us into your homes. You guys were some of the first that had us into your homes. You guys were some of the first to come to our place. Thanks, Michael, for being a good football person to talk with. Did the Browns, are they on their bye week? Or did they lose today? They're on their bye week? Okay, yeah. You guys have been good friends to us, and I appreciate that. Bill and Michelle Christian, always so encouraging with your words and your text messages, your kindness towards our children. Our children always loved being around you guys. Thank you for helping paint Asher's room before we moved out of our house to Michelle. Pat and Ronnie Collier, there's times where preaching is this thing where you spend all this time like by yourself trying to put something together that you don't know is going to be helpful or not. You hope it's going to be. And then after you preach a sermon, you're thinking to yourself, well, that stunk just like all the other ones that I do. And then there's people like Ronnie and Pat that just, I think in God's providence, just always have a way of saying things that are just very helpful and encouraging in times where they might not know the kind of insecurities that I'm feeling. I love you guys, and you guys have been very, very good to us. Cherry Trimble, you're a great Bible student. I've learned so much from your comments that you've made in Bible class. Thanks for the cards that you always send. The kids always love getting the stickers that you send to them. It's your thoughtfulness towards everybody in the congregation is such a blessing. Janice Heyman, the Bible classes, your insights into Scripture, your godliness, your kindness, and the things that you can bring out from the Scriptures that can instruct everybody in a class is such a blessing to be able to be part of something like that. I've enjoyed the fortnightly Wednesday morning Bible classes, and your contributions have been much appreciated in that. Michaela and Oleg, I talked to you about you guys a little bit last week, but I loved listening to your guys' perspectives on things. Two people that lived in other countries, Trinidad and Russia, and your guys' perspective on so many different things has helped open my eyes to so many things, and I appreciate your contribution that you've given to my life. Stuart and Jana, I remember, I think it was the first gospel meeting that I had done once I moved here in Washington, D.C., that you guys had Samantha and the kids over, and I wasn't able to be there for that. But you guys have just always been so thoughtful and so gracious. Thanks for the medical help. Janet, didn't you remove the thing from Abigail's foot that one time? Yeah, thank you for that help on that. We don't want to go to the emergency room and pay $2,000. So thank you for that help. Doug Warren, whenever I moved here, whenever I lived in Nashville, I didn't pick a team. And I was just like, forget that. And then I came here and Doug was like, you're going to come with me to an Alabama game. And so then I was forced into picking Alabama. But I went to that Chick-fil-A opener game. What team did they play? It was Duke, yeah, the blue ones. They looked like a devil or something. And they beat them. And that was a really fun experience. And I even paid attention to the football game yesterday. Troll ride or something like that is whatever they say. The Rossetti family, you guys were the first ones, I think it was the first Sunday we were here, that you guys invited us to get lunch at Jason's Deli. And Steve wanted to get lunch several times and just get to know each other. You guys have just always been so encouraging and so kind to us. The way that you guys interact with our kids, the way that you guys have just been through a lot of stuff. And even in the midst of all the stuff that you guys have been through in the last couple of years, your thoughtfulness and your care for other people, rather than only getting absorbed into your own things, which would be totally understandable if you did. But you guys just haven't done that. And I appreciate your constant encouragement and support. Brad, Leanna, Stacy Butcher. When we first moved here, I didn't know how to do anything that dealt with power tools. And so people said that I needed to call Brad. And so I didn't know how to mount a TV. I didn't know how to use a shovel, probably. I don't know. I guess I'm not as blue-collar as I thought I was. But Brad would come over, and I remember Asher especially gravitating to Brad. And Brad was showing him how to do different things and being able to come over. You guys came over on the Wednesdays and making all the good food that you made. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your life and being so kind to our kids. Christy Scally Carter facilitated the first house that we've ever bought, and it was actually the only house we looked at. I just saw the aerial map, and it was by a park, and I'm like, and it's by the church building, so we'll go ahead and just, if we like it, we'll go ahead and buy that. And Christy was so extremely helpful. But beyond that kind of work that we all know Christy is awesome at, just the way that she builds people up and the way that she's thoughtful about other people and encouraging them in the Lord has meant so much to us. Thank you for your comments after Bible class and your reflections that you've shared with us on the Bible. It's been very encouraging to know you and to hear your insights. Bill and Diane Cottle, your hospitality. Thanks for letting the kids learn how to swim in a safe kind of place. You guys have been so kind to us. Again, like Pat and Ronnie, just providentially encouraging me in times where I especially needed to be encouraged, even if you guys didn't know that that's exactly what you were doing when you were doing that. So thankful for that. Matt Cottle, thanks for all the fun conversations. You've got the best picture in the whole directory. The piano. Might want to add Carla to that, though. Just have her sitting next to you on the piano. But keep the piano. I like that. the Gaskin family, your concern for evangelism and reaching the lost, and you wanting me to be involved in some of those things, thank you for that. Thank you for your love for people. Thank you for your perspectives and ease of being able to talk with you guys. Blake, you're awesome. You're a good thinker. Thanks for the good conversations and the good questions that you brought up in Bible classes. Teresa Evans, I remember whenever I was like trying out here or whatever, Teresa was coming up to me sharing different things that she had seen in the Bible about, like, the first conversation we had was, hey, why do you think that the whole congregation had to stone somebody that needed to be stoned? And she had some interesting insight on that I had never thought about, that the whole congregation kind of, like, has to be part of the discipline so that they all learn the lesson from it. And that was my introduction to Teresa. Thank you for all the hugs. Thank you for your thoughtfulness about Scripture. Thank you again. Thank you for your concern with evangelism and the way that you try to weave that into the work that you do. Such a good example for so many of us. Danny and Nanette Campbell, your zeal for the Lord and your contributions, Danny, to the Skeptic Study. I brought that up last week. But thank you so much for being part of what has easily been one of the most taxing Bible studies I've ever been part of. Without you being able to lift some of that weight, I don't know that I would have been able to keep doing those studies. JTAT, that's I call him JTAT, but like James Thornton and Abby Thornton, I call him JTAT. Thanks for sharing your life with us. Thanks for helping us take those pictures that we took before we're getting ready to move. You guys are great. Thank you so much for being part of our life. Paula and Rod Hovater. It was after like 2 or 3 months that we had moved here that we had the Easter get together thing. And that was one of the first times that our kids were able to be around like a ton of kids at this church at one time, somewhere other than the church building. And, thank you for facilitating things like that. Such a blessing to people that have got the children here, and to everybody else as well. during COVID, us preachers had to preach in an empty auditorium, and we had to like look up there the whole time. But sometimes we'd pretend like there's people, which was just like a strange dynamic. You know what was difficult about a time like that for me was that I would preach and there would be nobody here to say, hey, that stunk because of this, or that was helpful because of that. I was like, I don't know if anybody's getting anything from any of this. Paula's texts were consistent and helpful, and they helped me know that people were paying attention during a time like that. Not that I would have doubted that, but you know what I mean. It was just really nice. Clay Hovater, during the men's purity classes that we had, it was good to get to know you better during those. Your contributions brought more age and wisdom to those studies, and I thank God for that. Marty Broadwell, one of the most challenging people that I think I've ever studied with. I had to get Marty involved in that, and through that, I've gotten to know Marty better and better. But I've learned a lot from you, just even in those studies, as I just kind of started to back off a little bit and hear you guys talk. We're not studying tomorrow, I don't think, by the way. He's got court. But just getting advice from you and the input that you've given to me in my life has been very helpful in a lot of ways. Nate Creekmore, he came with to several studies that I had been doing, one of the ones that had to stop more recently. We've been studying with a guy named Tony in the community that I met at Kroger. And after those studies, Nate and I would sometimes just stay at the Kroger parking lot until like 11 p.m. just talking about Scripture and his perspective on life and the world and all kinds of things. And Nate is just one of the smartest people that I've ever met. And the things that he's studied and learned and can articulate has added so much to my life, and I'm thankful to God for his contributions as well. Stan Hayworth, the studies that we've done together, I know that you miss Clara a lot and that she was a blessing to you, and I appreciate you sharing some of those good stories and memories with her, about her with us. I've appreciated your support in those studies and your concern for the lost, and everything that you've done to assist in those studies. Florine, you didn't really give us a choice. We had to embrace you. And we would have anyways. But when my parents visited, have you guys heard this story? When my parents visited? My parents love Florine. And did somebody just say amen from that? I think somebody did. When my mom and dad came, they loved Florine's sense of humor. And they gave Florine permission to be my step-in mama and give me a whoopin' if I needed one. And I've not had to get one until today. She says I'm going to have to get one. By the way, but seriously, thank you for all your kindness towards the kids and for all the meals that you brought to our house, and so Samantha didn't always have to do all the cooking and everything. You've been such an awesome person to know, and we love you very much for all the help and the good things that you've done for us. I forgot to mention this at the beginning, by the way, but Samantha and I and the kids are leaving on Wednesday, and then I'm flying back on Friday the 10th to teach the last couple high school classes, which means if anybody wants one more opportunity, I'm available Friday night for dinner. I'm available Saturday night for dinner. And I'm available Sunday afternoon for lunch. So you got three more times. The Spanish-speaking brethren. I like to call them the SSBs, because that stands for Spanish-speaking brethren, and it's quicker to say that. Johnny, Minor, Faraday, Karen, Sarah, Loida, all of you guys. You guys were the ones that helped us move out of the house on the hill. And once you guys realized that we could move into our house, you guys were coming over just to hang out when we lived on the house on the hill. And we didn't even ask, but you guys just immediately started helping pack things. And it was that same night we moved everything over to our house. And I hate what happened at the Tower of Babel. I hate the language barrier. But the times that you guys were able to come over and we were able to have people that could translate, that could help us get to know you guys, your guys' concern for righteousness and in your kindness towards our kids, teaching them some things about soccer, you guys have been such a great group of people to know, and I wish that we could know each other even better. But I think there's going to be a place one day where we will. Stephen Patsy Martin, thank you for all the hamburgers and ice cream at Culver's. You guys, Patsy bringing the heat in the Bible studies, all of the great comments that she had. You guys have been good friends. Thanks for finally letting me have an opportunity, even though I always had it, to go up to the cabin at Blake's wedding. But you guys have been such good friends to us. So thankful to you guys for your influence in our life and your kindness and all the hamburgers and ice cream. And I'm going to try to learn how to go hunting when I go to Bowling Green, Steve. So maybe I can send you some of that venison or something. You have your own. You don't need it, actually. Santee has become one of my closest friends. And while he was waiting for his work visa to be approved after he had graduated, he had this indefinite amount of time where he didn't know how long it was going to take before he could actually start working. And so he sent me a text one day asking if he could just come with me to my Bible studies. And up to that point, I hadn't gotten to know him very well. But he just started coming with to, like, everything I was doing. And your perspective on Scripture, the things that you brought out from Scripture, and the conversations that we were able to have about the things that you've seen in Scripture challenged me and caused me to think more deeply about the things that I was reading. You've been one of the most personally challenging and encouraging people that I've known. And I'm thankful to God for the relationship that we have. Thank you for challenging me and helping me in the work that I do. Sewell Hall. Before moving here, I knew Sewell only by reputation. But in moving here, I've had the privilege of getting to know him better. It was actually during COVID. I would preach. Remember when I did the Psalm 23 series or whatever on Wednesday nights? And after I would preach one of those sermons, Sewell would always text me. And one of those times he texted me, I said, hey, is it okay if I stop by your place? And then every Wednesday night I started to come into his place after those Psalm 23 lessons. And then that changed into like every Monday morning or Tuesday morning or whatever. It changed a couple different times. But Sewell is the kind of guy that every time I'm around him, I'm made more aware of my pride. And I just want to be more and more like him. And I'm sure he's uncomfortable people saying things like that, but that's one of the reasons he's qualified for me to say that kind of thing about him. Love Sewell and his gentleness and his humility and the way that he encourages. Have you ever noticed how specific Sewell is in when he gives a compliment or when he gives like constructive criticism? The accuracy and how concrete he is in what he's saying. It's not just blah this or blah that. It's very specific and very helpful. Mike and Aaron Kreck, we love you and the kids love you. Thank you for letting us live with you guys for the last couple weeks. They're not even here. Why am I talking to them? I don't think there's anyone Hannah loves more than Mike. As we've been staying there, Hannah was sleeping in the closet the first couple nights. That's what you do in a situation like this. And Hannah would wake up at like 1:30 and go, Mom, Dad, Mike. Because they're in the same house. It can be hard living away from biological mom and dad, grandparents. And it's so important to have a family in Christ where people can step in and become like grandparents to the kids. And Mike and Aaron, thank you. Joan and Ashley Cruttenden. You guys are some of the most encouraging people we've ever known. Your desire for evangelism and your love for our kids. When Samantha was in labor with Elliot, we could call them up or text them, whatever we did. And they came over to our house for like 6 hours while Samantha was walking around trying to get the labor to go quicker and quicker. And they just played with them the whole time. And then just transferred all the car seats, and they took Asher, Abigail, and Hannah for 2 days. And ever since then, Asher and Abigail and Hannah have been going, when can we stay at Joan and Ashley's again? How many people in the world that don't have a Christian family want to hang out with people that are way older than them? They're not way older, you know. What kind of community creates that? There's a lot of people that I'm not naming that should or could be named. But when I think about the book of Hebrews, remember in Hebrews chapter 11 when the writer of Hebrews talks about all these people that were so encouraging, all these people of faith? He says in chapter 11, verse 38, that these were people of whom the world was not worthy. People that, by the world standards, didn't have a big name, weren't important. I think about so many of you guys when I think about people of whom the world is not worthy. I also think about Romans chapter 12, where it talks about the different gifts that people have, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, all of these different gifts that people have, all of these things that you guys have done and contributed to our life, it's not because you're the person up front. It's not because you've got some important position of leadership or something like that. Not to take away from the importance of any of those things. But a cup of cold water in His name given. I want to end with a couple specific words of encouragement. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is it okay if I say a couple things that I think might be especially applicable to this church? Is that okay if I do that? The first one is to take heed. And I'm not saying this because I see something, but it's because of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12 that I think is important for us to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stand take heed lest he fall. You guys are aware that the Embry Hills Church of Christ has got a really good reputation. And that there's churches and other places that come to the website and see how we handled COVID, how we did this, how we do that, the Bible class material. You guys are, I know you guys are aware of those things. And that if you travel other places and people ask what church you go to and you say Embry Hills, everybody knows what church that is. And that's for good reason. There's a lot of really good people here. Have you noticed that even in what I just did, whenever people publicly talk about this church up here, it's always very positive, right? And does that make sense? Does that make sense that there's a lot of positive things here? Absolutely it does. But you know, like when somebody compliments a preacher and they say, don't let that get to your head, though. Is it appropriate for the preacher to say that to the church? Take heed. There's dangers within ourselves and there's dangers outside of ourselves. The danger within ourselves is that we don't have the contentment in Christ that Christ would want us to have. In the midst of everything going on in our society, and what kind of message does that send the world when we don't have that? But then the danger outside of us is that there's things in the world that try to get repackaged and Christianized that a church could start to bring in from the world. And that if you do that, and if one of the reasons that we have our guard down is because we think that we're pretty good, do you think that that could be a danger for this church? We got to be careful that you guys keep diligent in doctrine, morality. You shut out the voices of what the world says about things morally speaking, and that you just stick with what the Scripture says. Take heed. And I'm not saying that because I see something. I'm saying that because of how much this church is praised. Don't let it get to your head. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Remember your true citizenship. There's a lot of things that I could say in this context, but just look at verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to even to subject all things to Himself. How many of you, honestly examining yourself, feel like you've been distracted by politics in the last couple of years? Feel like you've paid more attention to the news than to reading the Bible? Spent more time listening to news podcasts than listening to the Bible? This might just be a challenge for Christians across the country. But this passage here says that we await a Savior who's going to transform this lowly body into a glorious one. And in the news, do you think there's going to be more variants of concern? There's going to be a bunch of them, probably. And there's going to be more things to worry about this lowly body being destroyed, or about what's happening in this country, or what we worry could happen in this country. What does it demonstrate to the world when a Christian gets distracted by those things? And we don't have contentment because we're worried that things are going this way or going that way, or they're not the way that it used to be, or whatever. What kind of message does that send the world? When we don't have the kind of hope that Paul talks about here, that our citizenship is in heaven, and that's where we're awaiting our Savior. If you've been distracted, I've been distracted in the last couple of years by the going-ons of the world. Stay focused on the right thing. Third thing, look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There's a lot of hard workers here. There's a lot of people here that are involved in serving one another and serving the lost in evangelism. There's a lot of you that have decided to be the change that you wanted to see rather than complaining about things that you might not like in a church or something like that. There's a lot of you that have just dug in and done a lot of good things. Are some of you weary in the good that you're doing? You know, like, the criticisms that you get, the lack of sleep that you get, the lack of results that you're seeing in the good that you're trying to do. You ever felt weary to the point where you don't know if you want to continue on? You know, on the one hand, if there's a lot of things about this church that's praiseworthy, and there are, the danger for a church filled with a lot of people that are hard workers is that some of you might grow weary, and that you might want to give up. The imagery that he gives here is this sowing and reaping, that there's going to come a time where you're going to reap, but a farmer, when they plant the seed, do they have immediate results? They have to wait. It's not like they plant the seed and then, boom, it's there the next day or that an hour later or something like that. Can you relate to the idea of even growing weary? Do you know what that even feels like? And I'll just challenge you that if you don't know what that feels like, maybe it means that you haven't been working hard for the Lord. To understand what it means to feel weary in doing good, only comes about from somebody who's doing good. So if you're doing good, don't grow weary. But remember the imagery of the farmer, that the farmer does their work and the seed sprouts and it does what it's supposed to do. But don't grow weary, because this church needs to continually be there for the community, be there for one another. And there's just a lot more that I could say about that, but I'll leave it there. Go to Acts 20. In the book of Acts, there's only one speech that's given to a Christian audience. And that's when Paul speaks to the elders at the church at Ephesus. But I want to read what happens in Acts chapter 20, verses 36 to 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was very much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Can you imagine that? They're not sure if they're going to see each other again. There's all this weeping that's happening. And they kneel down on the beach and they pray. I want to pray for us right now. Let's go ahead and bow. Our gracious God, we praise you and we thank you for the family that you've put us into. We thank you for the relationships that you've given to us. We thank you for the love that we first learned from you, that we've been able to give and receive with one another. Please, Lord, help us to take heed, to never forget that we stand by your grace. We don't stand by our reputation. We don't stand by our own good deeds, but we stand because of what you've done for us and the way that you strengthen us and empower us. Please, Lord, help us to remember our citizenship, that it's not in the United States, but it's in this heavenly kingdom that you've prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to put our hope in that more than anything else. Help us to not grow weary in the good that we're doing. Help us to continually do the things that you've asked us to do and wait for the harvest. Father, to you we give the glory for all the good that you've done in our lives and the good that you've done in this church. We thank you so much for your patience and for your love and for your kindness towards us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No matter where I go in life, when people ask me all the places that we've lived, I'll always be able to say that for 3 years we lived in Atlanta. And whenever I can have those conversations with people, there's going to be memories of you guys that flash in my mind. These have been good years, and we're going to cherish them forever. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life. I love you guys. We're about to sing a song. If there's anybody that has any needs, this is an opportunity to get your life right with God. You can come forward while we stand, while we sing.
I will see you.